Okay, it's about a 30-year-old movie, but does anybody remember A Few Good Men? Okay, few. All right, good and excellent. It's a courtroom drama centered around a case in the United States Marine Corps, but it has remained famous because of one moment with Jack Nicholson on the stand being interrogated by a lawyer played by Tom Cruise. Jack Nicholson's Colonel Jessup responds when the Tom Cruise character says, "I want the truth." Anybody knows what comes next? You can't handle the truth. And this has become something of a memorable quotation, even a meme for those of you on social media. When someone is thought to not be able to handle information that is too sensitive. And I thought about that moment today because in our gospel story, Jesus confronts Peter with the truth. The truth of who he is, what he has done, how he loves now, and what he's going to be called to do. The truth of sin and the truth of forgiveness. And the upshot, what I want to talk about for a few minutes today with you, is this. With the risen Jesus going before us, in fact, we can handle the truth. Even the most difficult of truths. So let's consider the story. And what I want to pay attention to is the very last fragment of our gospel reading, where Jesus is asking Peter three times if he loves him. It's a little bit repetitious. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. That exchange happens three times. But at the very third question, Peter is hurt because Jesus is asking him this question for the third time. Now, why is Peter hurt? Here's what I'm going to guess. At that third question, it dawns on Peter what Jesus is up to. Because what has Peter done three times in recent weeks? Three times before the cock crowed on the night when Jesus was betrayed and arrested, Peter has denied his friend. Someone asked Peter three times, "Are you one of his disciples?" And three times Peter said, "I am not." So somehow I imagine the Gospel of John wants us to hear the reading today go something like this: "Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "I'm not. But Lord, you know that I love you." "Peter, son of John, do you love me?" "I am not, but Lord, you know that I love you." "Peter, son of John, do you love me?" Peter is hurt because it sinks in the reality of what is going on here. He loves Jesus. He has failed Jesus. Jesus still loves him, and Jesus is calling him into a new kind of life, a new ministry of feeding lambs and tending sheep, but one that remembers and redeems the past. Whatever Easter life is, the forgiveness that it brings, it's not a kind of forgiving that means forgiving and forgetting. Rather, it's going to be forgiving and redeeming. A life in which the risen Jesus buys back the past as the grounds for a new kind of present and a blessed kind of future. Jesus does not ask these questions, I think, because Jesus wants to shame Peter. That's not what this hurt is about. Rather, Jesus has a new calling for him to feed his lambs and tend his sheep. And the hurt that I think Peter is experiencing here is not the hurt of denial or guilt, but rather the kind of hurt that leads to healing. The kind of hurt I think that we may all experience when we know we've messed up, But when we're being forgiven and are being miraculously given an opportunity to grow, Jesus here is handing Peter back his past, not as something to be perpetually ashamed of, but as something from which new life can grow. So Easter life for Peter means handling this truth. He will go forward as the premier leader of the Christian church, but he will never be able to do so by proclaiming his perfection as a disciple. I somehow imagine that this moment meant that Peter was commissioned to lead and to serve in all humility. That he was commissioned to tell the story of his past, how he too was complicit in Jesus' death. And therefore, he has something in common with all those other people out there, people like you and me, who fail to be perfect in their walk of discipleship and who yet are continually being drawn into the life that the risen Jesus has to offer. The truth of this story is that when we talk about Easter life, new creation, forgiveness, new life, we're also talking about restoration, about being connected to our sinful or sorrowful pasts in a life-giving way, being able to look at them and tell the truth about them without claiming that somehow they always have the last word, that they have the last word on our lives. In the hands of the risen Jesus, the most creative possibilities can come from the honest reckoning with the failures of yesterday. Let me tell you about one place where I've seen this working out in practice in the life of our wider church, our synod. One of our sister congregations in Pittsburgh, St. Andrew's Lutheran in Shadyside, has been engaging with the people of Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church, which had once been a congregation just whose building was located just 3 miles away from their own in Shadyside. Bethel was located in the lower, Bethel was located where the Civic Arena is now, or the PPG Arena is now. In fact, it was taken by eminent domain by the Pittsburgh Redevelopment Authority in the 1950s and just completely razed so that the arena could be built. At the time when it was claimed, when its building was claimed, it had 3,000 members. It had been established in 1808, regularly hosted almost 2,000 people every week for worship services and other events, and was a fixture in its community. But when the Urban Redevelopment Authority was going to tear out the Hill District and build the arena, it just claimed it and tore it down, unfortunately leaving white congregations in the area untouched. And no white churches rose up to protest the destruction of this other Christian congregation. Eventually, Bethel was able to buy another building, much smaller in a different neighborhood, and it fractured their whole community. Because the new building could only hold a fraction of their members, and so they lost their land and their building, as well as, in some ways, the integrity of their congregation. Now the place where their building stood is just an empty parking lot. That's how the development ultimately has gone. And so Bethel is trying to reclaim the land on which their former congregation once stood. They're working with the Penguins and the city of Pittsburgh to do this. And they've called in surrounding white congregations that did not raise their voices in the 50s to help them with this task. St. Andrew has responded to that, as have other Lutheran congregations in the city of Pittsburgh, and they've been trying to tell this story to us and to others to try to invite us to think of ways that we also can look at ways in our own communities where we might need to show up for our neighbors and confront the hard truths of the past. Now, I think this is really hard. It's not an easy process because it could be very easy for people, Lutherans, to say, well, that was years ago, we weren't there, we weren't guilty, we weren't in it. But that's not what they're saying. What they're saying is this is a Jesus-like moment where Jesus is Like as where Jesus comes to Peter and says, "Hey, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Here's the truth of the past. Here's an opportunity to step into the future in a really concrete way. Here's an opportunity to love our neighbors and build a different kind of future, not by denying the past, not by trying to forget about it, but by honestly confronting it and using it as the template for a new and renewed future. You can handle the truth. That's what the risen Jesus says. And I think that's what the life of our sister congregation is proving to us. Sometimes the truth hurts. But in the hands of Jesus, the truth is not overwhelming. It's creative. It's full of possibilities. I wonder, where are there such places in our own lives? Where are there such places in the lives of our community or of our congregations where there have been failures in the past that need to be named, not so we can just, you know, beat ourselves up, but so that we can honestly learn and move forward? Where are there places where Jesus comes to us and says, "Do you love me? And by the way, in order to step forward, we need to claim this thing that happened in the past." What truths does Jesus want to acknowledge? So what places is Jesus calling us into resurrection life? Life that redeems and honors the past, but places it in the hands of the forgiving hands of the risen Jesus. When God gets the truth out into the open, that's precisely the place where God opens new life, new friendships, new opportunities. Because there is no sin that cannot be forgiven. There is no evil that has the last word. Sure, the truth can hurt, but the truth can also heal. Because the one who brings it, the one who speaks it, is Jesus himself. Amen.